AM 740 and streaming live everywhere. Time for the Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells.
The Word of God is that life-giving, fruit-bearing seed that's determined to grow up in us. You can't expect the same plant to thrive in both desert and frozen tundra, but the Word of God has no limits.
Dr. Daniel Pavela tells how God's Word grows like a perfect garden, bearing fruit in every season. Today on the Lutheran Hour. I'm Mark Eicher, glad to be with you once again. The Lutheran Hour is listener supported. To learn how your gifts and prayers help to bring Christ to the nations and the nations to the church, go to LutheranHour.org. The Reverend Dr. Daniel Pavela writes books and teaches theology at Concordia University in Mequon, Wisconsin. Now with a message titled, Fearless and Endless Growing. Here is Dr. Pavela.
God's word for us today is Colossians 1, verses 1 through 14. We read these verses to begin, verses 5 and 6. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. My wife is a wonderful gardener. She specializes in flowers and everything from simple geraniums to perennials with names I can't remember or even pronounce. Her hostas and hydrangeas, they come back every spring, no matter how cold the winter was. And every May, she divides the plants that have gotten too big. She moves and replants flowers that aren't doing very well. She puts in the new ones she's been waiting to try. And by the middle of summer, you can imagine, our gardens and flower beds have every plant, every size, every color you could possibly want. That's the picture that takes us to our text. Paul describes us as those in whom God has planted his gospel message. This gospel grows like a perfect garden. The right seed, in the right soil, watered, trimmed, it grows beautifully. But in many ways, the gospel's planting is beyond what we find in our ordinary garden. The garden of the gospel has no limit to location. It flourishes wherever it chooses. Also, the gospel garden grows right now. It doesn't have to stop for winter. And finally, this garden can move. The gospel can take us from the darkness of our past and plant us in the full light of God. Ordinary plants can't take that kind of change, dark to full sun. But God transfers us into the kingdom of his Son, where we can grow like we've never grown before. So, thinking of plants, let's start with the fact that some plants can grow only in certain places. Not every climate works for every plant. We live in southern Wisconsin, about a mile inland from Lake Michigan. We can grow apples and strawberries, no problem. But let's not waste our time trying to grow oranges and bananas. We're at Wisconsin, after all. You gardeners know that seed catalogs will show you what growing zone you're in, and it's all simple. You find the zone you're in and order the plants for that zone. What if God would limit the gospel and the growth it brings according to the zone of growth we've shown so far? What if God would look at us and say, well, I think you've grown it a little in patience, so we can try more of that, but I don't see much love or joy here, so let's just give up on those. Imagine God judging our past growth and leaving us as we are with no change. None of us has grown every fruit that he could demand. So he could just say that our lives have been too cold, too hard-crusted for any lasting crop. With that, he could turn away and leave us just as we are. What could we say? God could rate us as he wishes. We could be judged like the fig tree in the parable in Luke 13, where the tree had not brought out good fruit for the year, and the owner was about to cut it down. But the vine dresser asked to let it have one more year. If it bore fruit, good. But if not, then cut it down. How easily God could point out that we've had many, many years, and the fruit that could be expected, it hasn't always come. He could say that nothing good seems ready to grow in us, so let the weeds come and take over instead. But the good news of our text is that God's planting in us isn't limited to a certain zone, a particular person, or the perfect setting. God doesn't plant according to our past. Listen to Paul when he describes how the gospel message grows anywhere. Colossians 1, 5-6 that we opened with says, "Of this you've heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth." There's life in the word of God that speaks to every person, and there's a message that's adapted to every soul. So what is the power of the gospel to grow wherever it's planted? It can grow in even the hardest heart. Yes, it can be rejected by shallow lives and by lives that are too overcrowded. The parable of the sower in Mark 4 shows us how the word of God can be resisted or burnt off or choked to death. But the word can also bear fruit in the most surprising lives. The Apostle Paul is a wonderful example as he describes himself as the man most unlikely to bear good fruit. He said, "Formerly I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief." 1 Timothy 1, verse 13. When was the season in which God's words began to grow in the Apostle Paul? Did God wait for Paul first to make repayment for all his wrongs? That might sound reasonable, but God turned Paul around in just 3 days. He spoke to Paul when he was at his hardest point. God didn't need to transplant Paul to a new place, but he met him on the road to Damascus. And after 3 days of blindness, Paul was open to the light of the gospel. Despite the hardness of Paul's heart, God's word was planted and it bore fruit. The change that came to hard-hearted Paul is a bit like early spring here in Wisconsin. When winter seems to hang on, the tulips begin to break out. The ground is barely thawed. It doesn't matter. Those sturdy tulips push through. Even a covering of new snow doesn't stop them. When it's time to grow, it's time to grow. And hard mulch or an inch of snow won't stop that tulip. They are going to bloom no matter what. So the word of God comes to grow, in season and out of season, ready to change the life in which it was sown. That's the meaning of Paul when he noted that the word was bearing fruit throughout the world. Imagine a plant that could be grown in every climate, every soil, days of darkness or days of sun, drought or rain. But of course, that's impossible. You can't expect the same plant to thrive in both desert and frozen tundra. But the word of God has no limits. As Isaiah said, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Isaiah 55. God's word is determined to bring new growth. When we plant even a simple geranium, which, by the way, I have right here on the desk in front of me, we fill the pot with new soil, carefully put the geranium in it, cover the roots just so. We water it. We give it just the right amount of sun. If there's a storm coming, we bring it in so the wind doesn't beat it down. That's a lot of care for one little geranium. But God's word is much sturdier, and it's a more adaptable planting. It's boundless, as our Colossians text notes, saying, "The gospel which has come to you is indeed in the whole world. It is bearing fruit and growing." It doesn't need a certain place or people to grow. There's no exclusive property or people that alone have the gospel growing. As God said in the passage from Isaiah, his word grows where he sent it, and it doesn't come back empty. So we can share this same word with all its promises and its power to everyone we know. Your daughter in California, your father in that apartment in North Carolina, your best friend who just moved to Texas, your in-laws who stayed in North Dakota, they're all in the right place for the growing of the gospel in their lives. As Paul said in our text, "The gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world, is bearing fruit and growing." So, we have a word that can grow in any place. Now the question is, when to plant? Here in southern Wisconsin, the consensus of most people is that from May 15th on, we should be free from hard frost. So plant those geraniums and don't worry about them freezing. Well, of course, say that to someone and they'll tell you about the hard frost that came on May 30th some years back. If you keep on asking, you might hear someone claim that it's frozen hard even in June and froze again in August. Listen to enough of these stories, you'll give up and let the weeds take over. The search for the right time to plant is a challenge. I don't want to be too soon. What if it freezes? I don't want to wait too long and lose good days of growing. What if we had that same caution to the sharing of the Word of God? Think how easily we could be held back from saying anything to anyone. We could all hear cautions like these. Don't speak too soon. Don't wait too long. Don't say too much. Don't say too little. Give me enough cautions, I might not say a single word. But consider again the humble, simple geranium. The geranium is already blooming when you buy it. It's blooming the moment you put it in the soil at home. It'll keep on blooming every day. Here in southern Wisconsin, that little plant will bloom for 5 months straight. From the day you buy it, that geranium can't wait to bloom and grow. So listen to the same restlessness of the Word of God in our text. It is bearing fruit and growing, as it does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. The fruit of the Word of God is immediate. Look, for example, at the tremendous response in Pentecost, where in one day of preaching, the apostles saw 3,000 people come to faith and be baptized, Acts chapter 2. In fact, listen to how Peter assures the people that this gospel promise was immediate and boundless. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself, Acts chapter 2. The word of promise brought repentance, change, and hope to people who were crushed by their past. But the work of forgiveness didn't have to wait for a better time or better people. They could hear the news of forgiveness and immediately take it to heart. How different this is from other life-changing words. When we go on a diet or start a new exercise plan, the promises of better health are all there. But after the first day, what's really changed? Nothing. And hopefully you're still excited about the plan, but maybe you better hold off getting on the scale after just one day. But how different it is with the growing of God's Word. When the Word brings us news of the grace of God, it bears fruit that very day. Imagine the contrast. A dry, lifeless patch of trampled ground, worthless, is transformed in one day into a garden in which plants are already blooming. So Paul reminded the Colossians that they had shown fruit from the first day of hearing the gospel, and this fruit continued to grow. A plant that can grow from the first day on is wonderful, but there could be one problem. That plant might get too big. We have hostas on the north side of our house. They just don't know when to quit growing. So every 2 years or so, we have to divide them into two or even three parts. One part stays right where it is. It always comes back just fine. In fact, I think it likes the freedom of having more room. And the other pieces get moved to a new place. We recently started a whole new hosta garden just for these pieces. They always grow. It seems awfully rough to divide them, dig them up, put them in a new place. But you know, put that hosta in a hole, water it, cover it, water it again, and walk away. It's going to grow. That's the idea of the ending of our text. Paul notes that the Word of God is a word that transplants. Hear Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Most plants prefer a certain amount of sunshine. Hostas thrive on very little sun, even doing well on the north side of the house. You wouldn't normally take a shadow-dwelling hosta and put it in the full July sun. It's just too hot and bright. But look what God has done with us. He has taken us, shadow-dwelling people, dwellers in darkness, and he's moved us into the full light of his Son. He's done this not so we could display our sins and scorch us for them. He's moved us as his own, children whom he loves. He has us in the sunshine of his kingdom, so we can begin to show the fruit he has ready for us to bear. Our text puts it this way with Paul, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience and joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, Colossians 1, 9-12. Not only do we survive the replanting by God, being put into the kingdom of his Son, we begin to bear those fruits that Paul just described. And what a list of fruit God brings out in us. The power, endurance, patience, joy, and thanksgiving are all reflections of God's own nature. Power, patience, and joy are what he first gave us, not only as gifts in themselves, but as seeds that grow in us. We bear fruit because he first brought that same fruit to us. The Word of God is that life-giving, fruit-bearing seed that's determined to grow up in us. When it comes to us, this Word is not forgotten or hidden. It's a seed that can grow in any life and at any age. It's an abundant Word, a seed that won't run out, so we don't need to hide it or keep it just for ourselves. It's the Word of life that bears fruit for us all. Here's the Word that needs no special season or zone. There's no delay in planting it. Today is the day for it to grow. And once this Word has begun to grow, this new growth can move. We're transferred to the kingdom of God's Son. In fact, that new place, the kingdom of God, is exactly what we were made for. Here, we can bear the fruit God has prepared for us, growing in the gifts he's already shared with us. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking your creative, fruit-bearing word to us. Remind us that your word lives within us, even us, needing no delay or special season, and bear in us the fruit that you've prepared ahead for us to carry. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You're listening to The Lutheran Hour. To hear more, go to LutheranHour.org. There you'll also find free online resources, a broadcast guide, and much more. It's all at LutheranHour.org. Now, here is the Concordia Seminary Chorus. God's plans for us are not me-centered, rather they are Christ-centered. Next week, Dr. Ziegler talks with Bethany Hamilton, wife, mother, motivational speaker, and professional surfer. Here's part of what you'll hear.
One of the verses that I've heard you talk about, John 16:33, this is a promise from Jesus that I know you've learned by heart and you hold in your heart. How is that promise speaking to you lately?
I know there's different translations, but the one I've memorized is, in me you will have peace, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world, and Christ has overcome the world on our behalf. And so it kind of releases us from that pressure of like having to save ourselves. For me, hardship hit young, but it doesn't stop. All of us have hard times and they continue to come. And so being able to look to God and remember his word is so important. And it's just been such a blessing in my life.
Bethany Hamilton, next week on The Lutheran Hour. You the Word is a hymn by Dr. Martin Fronsman based on the parable of the sower. The text goes, "Preach you the word and plant it home to men who like or like it not, the word that shall endure and stand when flowers and men shall be forgot. Though some be snatched and some be scorched and some be choked and matted flat, the sower sows. His heart cries out, oh, what of that? And what of that? Of all his scattered plenteousness, one-fourth waves ripe on hill and flat, and bears a harvest hundredfold. Ah, what of that, Lord, what of that? Preach you the word and plant it home, and never faint. The harvest Lord who gave the sower seed to sow will watch and tend his planted word."
You don't know what a day will bring, but God does. Daily devotions from Lutheran Hour Ministries send a message to encourage you and strengthen you in your faith each day, focusing your heart and mind on the hope of Jesus Christ in all circumstances. Subscribe today for daily devotions and share with a friend. Sign up at lhm.org/subscribe. That's lhm.org/subscribe.
Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
The Lutheran Hour is made possible through the support of faithful listeners like you. To learn how your prayers and gifts can extend the worldwide outreach of the Lutheran Hour, go to lutheranhour.org. Our theme music is by Peter Prochnow, Emily Rogers, and Alicia Enstrom. I'm Mark Eicher. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.
You've been listening to the Lutheran Hour, brought to you weekly by Trinity Lutheran Church at 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells. Worship Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Family Bible Study Hour is at 8:30 a.m. on Sundays.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Air quality concerns today thanks to areas of smoke drifting through. Sunshine at lower 80s with a west to southwest wind on the light side. Mostly clear in mid-60s in the overnight. Monday could see a shower or storm, highs in the upper 80s. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently 74 degrees.
99.7.
Whatever. Maximum hits for Portage. 99.7 Max FM. Max FM.
Stop it. Maximum hits. 99.7 Max FM.
Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. This is Dave Grant. I'm going to head on out. I'll be back with you a little after 4 p.m. Coming up afternoon will be Kid Kelly with Backtracks USA 80s, followed by Backtracks USA 90s at 2. Coming up, a look at weather and our 50-minute music hour continues on Max FM.
WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Air quality concerns today thanks to areas of smoke drifting through. Sunshine at lower 80s with a west to southwest wind on the light side. Mostly clear in mid-60s in the overnight. Monday could see a shower or storm, highs in the upper 80s. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently 77 degrees.
Maximum hits.
Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, places they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Don't you us feel deep from our hearts to our feet and surprise them with a victory cry. Say, we can act if we want to, if we don't, nobody will. And you can act real rude and totally removed, and I can act like an imbecile. Say, we can dance, we can dance, everything's out of control. We can dance, we can dance, we're doing it from pole to pole. We can dance, we can dance, everybody look at your hands. We can dance, we can dance, everybody's taking the chance.
Dance, oh, it's safe to dance. Yes, it's safe to dance.
We can dance if we want to. We've got all your life in mind. As long as we abuse it, never gonna lose it. Everything will work out right. I see. We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. I see. We can dance, everything's out of control. But we can dance, we're doing it from pole to pole. But we can dance, everybody look at your hands. But we can dance, everybody's taking a chance.
Dance. Well, it's safe to dance. Yes, it's safe to dance. We'll save the dance. We'll save the dance. It's safe to dance. It's safe to dance. Yeah. It's safe to dance. It's safe to dance. Oh, 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 it's safe to dance.
This is 99.7 FM Baraboo, 103.7 FM Reedsburg, AM 740, and streaming live everywhere.
Backtracks USA, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility, great pay, and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today.
Time lock sealed. Destination confirmed.
The 80s.
USA. Happy weekend. Kid Kelly here, kicking off 2 hours of hot 80s hits. Here's the band whose lead singer now composes film music. Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo. Back to 1980, here's Whip It.
Not too
Steven Tyler from the Bad Boys and Aerosmith.
Hi, this is Belinda Carlisle.
Hey, what's up?
Totally 80s.
Hi, this is Corey Hart.
This is Backtracks USA.